Hey everybody, this is Bobby Jaycox, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Welcome to Rock Paper Podcast, Episode 8. My name is Chris Bemeter.
I'm Shane Presley.
And you can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, iTunes, and now Stitcher, Rock Paper Podcast. We're getting super official and taking over the world.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. Our guest this week, Bobby Jaycox. A comedian who also shares probably the possibility of having his name made fun of when he was growing up.
Yes.
Finally!
Constantly. Sixth grade was rough.
They used to like take roll and they're like, Bobby Jay, and you just raise your hand, no one can fucking hear, man.
Yeah, no, they were like, a teacher, some students would be like, I'm Bobby, they're like, Bobby Jaycox. I'm like, it's plural. There's two of them. And then kids, they were the worst. That was the first joke I ever did on stage, was that what my names were as a kid.
Mine's like, if you look at it, it looks like Bum Eater. And so they're like, oh, he eats bums.
Get out of here, dude.
I probably just flipped that lady off. I apologize. Okay. So we're at a mall because
we're shopping.
Because we're shopping, and we're like, let's just record a podcast. We saw him here. Let's do it. So if there's background noise, we do apologize. So let's get into it. You're doing the comedy thing, which is pretty awesome. I think it's probably one of the hardest forms of entertainment.
I think so too.
Than like music or I mean, porn's pretty hard too, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, porn
because
is hard.
You got
no pun and
but
tendon and all that.
So how long have you been doing comedy?
I've been doing comedy over 4 years now. Started right as I was actually in EMT school. I was like 19 years old and I didn't want to do it, and I built up the courage, I signed up, and the rest is history. And now I'm just making millions.
Now you're making millions and the documentary's coming out soon.
Yes, the documentary's coming out. This won't be in there,
it's
but
gonna be online.
It would be a lot of
Yeah, yeah, we couldn't afford
it. Well, the camera guy, he's like, I'm not going to a mall.
Yeah,
he's like,
yeah.
There's too much noise for a documentary.
There are releases we can sign or something. I don't know what it is.
Is that porn comment in reference to his mustache?
It could be. It's a good mustache.
For those of you who don't know, I have an amazing, amazing mustache.
They can see it. This is a podcast.
Yeah. I know.
Come on, jeez.
It's terrible. But I actually have a date with a girl tonight, and I'm going back. My whole day has just been, do I shave it or leave it? I don't know what to do.
I can pull it off well.
I don't know. Yeah, if I can have sex with this thing, that definitely means that I have something in my spirit. That's
now,
great.
Are you going to grow it like longer, or are you just going to keep it trimmed up?
I'm going to keep growing it. I can grow it until September, and then...
Oh, right.
Yeah, I have till September, and then we'll see what happens with this thing.
See, I'll grow, like, my beard. I can't grow facial hair with crap anyway, but I'll sometimes just be like, I'm just going to leave the mustache, and then it always looks like I would love NASCAR. And
yes.
Just look in my nose, and I just look stupid.
This
like,
is the saddest mustache I've ever seen, and I'm growing it on my face.
Oh, yeah.
It's terrible.
Out of choice. I'm sure she'll be like, wow, that's a great mustache.
If she says that, I'm going to marry her. If she can live with what my face looks like all the time,
that's
fine.
You got the ring in the pocket ready to go.
Yeah.
Nice. So let's talk about some of the comedy stuff you've done. What kind of influences did you have? Now, here's my question. Like, when you do comedy, is it some people, I think, kind of grow up and they really focus on some of these old comedians that, you know, inspired them. And then some, I think, people are just observant and are just naturally funny. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's more to it. Like, do you think you fit into one of those sides where you...
I would say, I guess, I feel like I kind of fit more into just, like, because I never really, like, was, like, a stand, like, when I grew up, I never watched stand-up at all,
right.
Really.
Yeah.
I basically was just, like, a kid who was just, I was, like, class clown, just, like, and not, just because I liked making people laugh and just, like, hanging out and just being really weird. Like, I would make all my friends, like, during, like, we'd have Latchkey, and I was, like, we're going to play Who's Line, and I would, like, they're, like, I don't know what that is, and I'd explain it to them, and then we'd have to play, and I'm, like, you guys aren't doing it right.
Yeah, this
like,
is fun.
Yeah.
God, they're new friends.
Yeah, and then people just, yeah, I had a lot of guys growing up that were just, like, you should just, like, do stand, like, because you say you could be a comedian, and I said what a lot of people I've heard say is, I was, like, well, I don't know how to, like, put it into anything.
Right.
And I remember the first stand-up thing I ever really saw, I think, was, Blue Collar Comedy Tour, and even like when I was a kid, like that's like I don't really listen to those guys anymore for no particular reason. I saw that and I was like, that's, you can do that. Like, I didn't understand it, and then when I was like 13 or 14, I moved my cousin into down to Missouri State with like my dad, and they were drinking a lot, and I might have been too, not important. But
you're over 21 though.
I was over because when you're 14, you're 21.
And
Missouri State.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah.
So
I was like being weird, annoying. Like, here, just listen to music. And I was like, they didn't have any music I liked. So he goes, here's this comedian who just came through our school, and I put it in, and it was Dane Cook. And I know a lot of people don't like Dane Cook, and that's fine if you don't. But when he was the first comedian who, like, I had heard who, like, changed. I, like, something clicked in my brain. Everyone has, like, when you're a band, you're like, I remember the first time I heard Kiss or, like, something.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I heard Dane Cook. I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
I love everything he's doing. And I was 13 or 14. That was, yeah. like, it blew my... I remember, I think it was the Kool-Aid bit where the guy comes crashing through the wall.
Yeah.
And I heard that, and I was like, what is this? It didn't even make sense to me. And I listened to everything I could of his. And that, I think that was one of, like, the first... That, and then, like, I guess seeing Blue Collar Comedy because I'd never seen stand-up.
Yeah.
Those were, like, the two things that, like, I was like, that's something.
I think Dane Cook was, like, the first one to make it... Because, I mean, you have those big comedians, but, like, who made it almost like a rock star type of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was, like, he's getting the TV specials, uh-huh. he's doing arenas, and it just, I had never seen that with comedy before. Yeah. And I think he was the one who really kind of made it... Not gonna say mainstream, because obviously there's tons of...
But, no, there's... But, I went to high school, and there was kids who, when he started exploding, it was, like, right when I was, like, a freshman or sophomore... And you would go around the halls and people were like, they would talk about Dane Cook just as much as they talked about, like, their favorite band. Like,
right.
He was something cool to like. And that's the thing is, I liked that I knew. And then everyone else did. And I was like, oh. And this girl told me, she's like, hey, you kind of, like, remind me of Dane Cook. I'm like, no, I was like this forever.
Yeah.
I was like, I know he's been doing it for 10 years on the road, but I've been doing it since sixth grade.
So, yeah. So Dane stopped copying off of me.
Yeah, same.
Exactly. I remember first, same with that, like, hearing Dane. The Comedy Central Presents, like, in 99 or something like that, and
he had, like, the wife beater on and stuff, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know, he was doing all that stuff, like, throwing the water in his face and doing that aliens thing, like, and I don't know, just all that stuff, like, a lot of physical comedy, which people, I guess, purists think that that's, you know, easy way out of making laughs and stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I think he's, yeah, he revolutionized it all for his generation in comedy.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of his stuff, he started with, like, MySpace, like, took over MySpace, like, having all of the friends on there. And and he, I was actually listening to that About Last Night podcast, and Barry Katz was talking about
Dane. Yeah, I'm listening to that right now, too.
And he was, Barry was talking about how Dane being from Boston, and then, like, they went, they were going to play whatever it was, some massive arena there, and I forget the name now, and they didn't even sell tickets to the public. It was all just pre-sale kind of stuff through his MySpace page, and he sold, like, 40,000 tickets in, like, an hour or a couple or something, whatever it was, like, or a week, I don't know, something ridiculous. Anyway, super fast regardless.
It's nuts.
And, and then he added a second show, and he sold that just as fast.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That's just wild. Like,
I think so. Yeah, I think that's a good point that you made, too. It's just, like, people always say that, like, it's, like, a cheap way of getting laughs. But I've seen firsthand, and I've heard stories, and so many people have seen people go up there and try to be Dane Cook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they fail at it. So it's not easy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, like, just because how he does it is different. Which is, the thing now is, now Dane Cook is not, like, the guy who I look up to as much. It's like, he was the guy who changed it for me. And then there's, like, Louis C.K. changed it for me in a different way.
Yeah.
Like, the first time I saw T.J. Miller, I was like, oh, my God. Like, that, I was like, that's what I like. And it's like, you can see a comedian who other people love, and you're like, well, you know, I think they're okay. And then you see a guy, and for some reason, in your brain, what he's throwing out there just really clicks for you.
I think with Dane, I think he got way too big for his own good. Like, people, you know, obviously whenever you make it, as many people that like you, you're gonna have haters too that want to see you fail. And especially, I feel like in comedy, there's a lot of people that are miserable in comedy. And they don't want to see anyone succeed. And I don't know, like, that's a, and I think he went through a lot of stuff, like, when he lost, like, both of his parents the same year, and then his brother try to steal his identity.
And
then
people are just writing to him, like, hey, go fuck yourself.
Like,
I'm having, this isn't easy.
And
I think it comes with the territory where he kind of paved the way and was a really big part of that social media craze, you know, and, like, kind of that's how he took off, and because our generation, our age group, really latched on him. I think we then made us start to look at other comedians and be like, oh, yeah. And then once he got so big, you're right, he kind of set himself up to fail because, one, people's attention spans now are gone, and so they want to move on to something new. But it's really hard once you peak to stay and keep doing that, just like a band, like you said.
Oh, yeah.
You just impossible, you know. And he's still, I mean, I think probably to most comedian standpoints, if he hadn't have been that huge rise, you know, he still would be majorly successful. I think people would see it. It just
becomes, which is unfortunate, but how do you can't, at what point do you start to rise and then go, it might be smart for me to not keep being more successful.
Maybe I should chill
out. That's like so weird to like, to be, because
then you start making,
you just want, you just want to keep being, you're like, I want this, and then I want this. Because otherwise, you know, no one does like their first, like, a couple open mics, and they're like, maybe I should just hang around here. Maybe this is my spot.
This is my level.
You're like, no, of course I want that next thing. Yeah. And even like, because I remember I was like, oh, I just want to host at the Funny Bone. I was like, that's, to get that would be insane to me.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, well, nah, I got a feature. And then it's like, well, you're not, and then I know it'll be, you got one, you headline. And like, well, why am I not on TV? It's like, you always like, that's all I want. And then you get there and you're like, no, you always want more than you.
And I think he got pushed down everybody's throat too much, too. It's just like a band.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You think of like a big positive band, they're just going to, anything they can get out of them, whether it's TV specials or movies. And I think that's what, like, he was in all sorts of movies and they were not, maybe not the greatest. Not horrible by any means.
I just don't think they were as, like, they didn't equate to, like, what he did. It was like, you know what I mean? It's like when you see, like, a thing, like if you see Kevin Hart in a movie, that's Kevin Hart, like, on stage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or, like, as Dane Cook, it's like when he's in a movie, you're like, well, I'd rather just, you know, I think most people would rather see him on stage than in the movie.
Yeah,
season.
I don't think it transitioned as well
from the
stage.
You know, it's something you want, you know, I'm sure he wanted to try. And
yeah, if you got the opportunity to do it, I mean, look at
that's why that's why Shaquille O'Neal did Shazam or whatever. They were like,
still one of the best movies of the 90s.
They're like, why did you do a terrible movie? He's like, if someone says they want to make a movie just about you and they show you all this money, you just do it. He's like, I didn't care if it was good or not. He's I'm just going to make a movie.
Yeah. I mean, you ask anybody, they're going to, if they get that opportunity, because it could blow up and be huge. Not that he needed it or others, but it's something too. I mean, I'm sure he had been touring forever and it's like, I want to try something different, get a different medium. And so you can't blame him, but I think it's just he was at the mercy of his own success in a sense. But I mean, he's still successful. I mean, doing his own thing, doing well, just not all over the place, which is
exactly.
You mentioned hosting at the Funny Bone, right? What was it, last year you won that competition?
Yeah, 2013. Yeah, I won the Funny Bone competition.
That's pretty big deal.
I had a lot of fun doing it, and I think it was fun, but I also think that, I don't know, it's like one of those things where it's like, if I had to be honest with myself, it's like, I think Andrew Frank is right now, and I normally don't like talk about stuff like this, but it's like, I think Andrew Frank is funnier than me right now.
I'd say that too.
Yeah, I mean, if you've seen him, he's great. He's like, he's very much, he's great to watch always, but in that competition, we were in different spots. Like, he was like up first, kind of get forgotten about. I was last in the finals, and there's a lot. I brought a lot of people. I didn't bring the audience, but I brought a lot of people.
Yeah.
But and there's also a guy in the audience who heckled me, and I handled it really well, and I think that also set me into the spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, so stuff like that kind of happens where it's like winning it doesn't mean like I'm the funniest person in St. Louis. And I think some people, I guess it's like, I don't know. I loved winning it, but it didn't. I mean, it does. You think, like, when you do something, just like I've heard people say, like, when they do their first 30 minutes on TV, they're like, they sit by the phone, they're like, let the calls come in.
Right.
And I did it, and I was like, now what? And, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
This is going into a weird area. That's just me being honest.
So when did you become depressed about getting on?
It's up and down a lot.
How do you go about with your when you set up a skit or, you know, a bit, how do you go about creating it? Do you just write, or are you pretty good with improv and just coming up with stuff on your own? Like, when you go up and you're doing a set, how do you kind of prepare for...
I'd say yes to all those. My form of writing, and a big person who kind of helped me break the path that I was doing, because up until my first week of hosting, which was with Ryan Stout, who was actually at the Funny Bone, and it was an open mic, and he was just there, and they were like, well, someone had to drop out as a host, and Matt Behrens was back there, and he was like, oh, who's the manager of the Funny Boys, like, who's gonna host? And Ryan Stout was like, can I pick from watching? And he's like, yeah. And I went on stage, he's like, what about that guy? And they're like, well, he's never done it before. And he's like, yeah, I want him. And so, like, Ryan Stout is like huge to me, and he watched me the whole week, and I'm like, hey, will you like meet with me, like, sometime I could talk about my set. And he goes, yeah. And I thought it was just going to be quick. He, like, watched me and had been taking notes, I guess, to already give them to me. And, like, he sat down. He's like, you know that every single one of your jokes is the same, right? He's like, they're about different things, but it's the same setup, the same delivery, the same punchline.
Yeah.
He's like, that has to change. And I, so I basically, like, I drove home that night, and I took, like, a long, weird way home, and I, like, got real weird and depressed, and like in a weird way I was like, well, what do I do? This is all I know how to do. I would come home, sit on my computer and just type or like write stuff out, and then after that I was like, I'm gonna try something new. And I bombed for a while, because I bombed because you're doing, you know, if you do a certain job and then you go to try to do another job,
right,
you're like, well, this isn't what I'm used to. So he was, I would say he's a big reason of why now I do, if I'm inspired to write, I'll write. If I'm inspired to just talk, I'll talk. Or if I like write a one-liner, I don't mostly do one-liners, but I will find a way to fit it in there, because I don't want to be, I'm too young of a comedian to be like, oh, I can't do that because I'm already here. I'm like, right. I get to be anyone I want, and I'm still trying to figure out who that guy is, trying to find like your voice.
Yeah, that's got to be just like a huge, and that, it wasn't a mind game, because I have absolute see what he's doing, but like, yeah, you got to think after he says that, hey, you're sounding all the same, you just be like, shoot, so now how do I go back and create stuff without sounding the exact same? But yeah, I gotta.
And it was and it was a long time figuring out. It was just me. I bombed really hard for a while.
Yeah.
And then I would be like, let me do my old jokes. But then I would do them, and I would be like, oh, Stout told me these, like, don't do it. Like, they're the same. And I would hear them being the same. And that's the thing, is sometimes you'll have to do a show, and if you have to fill a certain amount of time, and you don't like your jokes, you just have to do them. And there was a Ryan or. Aaron Brooks actually sent me something that Cameron Esposito, if that's how you say it, great comedian, I don't know how to say her last name, she actually wrote this article about stand-up, and she's like, in one of it, like, just like right in my face of, you'll start doing comedy and you'll do comedy that you loved at once and then you hate.
Yeah.
And like, you literally, like, I'll tell a joke and I'm like, I don't like telling this, but it does well, and you're like, well, I have to fill this time and I can't do something else. But that's where I think, since I've been doing improv, I do think it does help knowing how to handle yourself on stage, where you can, if an alleyway opens up to something, you can talk about that.
I think that's one of some of the best jokes are like when they're off the cuff, or that's something that you kind of riff off that you know, you didn't have necessarily in your set, and then it just works, and it's almost 100 times funnier than anything you thought of.
Yeah.
Like, just because it's part of the moment, you can can adapt off it.
I completely agree.
I mean, not that your stuff's any good.
But no, it's not. You guys, this is so weird you guys brought me on here. I think you're like, well, he's going to be on here. Let's make the sound terrible, too. Let's make there's like guys just going by with trash cans.
We're just hoping there's good sound in the background, and maybe a good song will play in the background.
Yeah, and they'll be like, oh, I'll listen to this podcast for this song in the background.
There's a fucking train driving in the background. I'm hoping that just choo-choos or whatever. Just
it's a child's train.
Yeah. We're going to go hop on that after this is over.
Should have done it on that. It would have been amazing.
Next
time.
Next, when we get somebody better on the podcast.
This podcast on a kid's train? That's great.
Right. We'll have to change the name and everything. So, I was checking out last night YouTube. You also, you're a writer on, is it called STL Up Late?
Yes, STL Up Late.
You're still a writer, and you're also participating?
Yeah, writer-performer on that show.
So, how's that, what's that process like of, is it all collaboration? How do you guys come across the bits? And
well, I was actually brought on by Eric. Eric actually, he was my level 3 improv teacher. Mm-hmm. And am I talking too loud or too quiet?
No, you're
okay.
Good.
I see you keep adjusting. I don't want to suck at you. You hear it and it's like,
really? Every time you talk, I turn it all the way down.
Yeah, so you're like, it's a question, and then people just getting to go, oh, thank God he's not talking.
Get somebody else better, and just they're going to answer the question. We're going to go find somebody.
You'll show that. You'll be like, here's the edited and the unedited. And people will be like, the unedited sucked because that guy kept talking.
Well, we're going to go to Hibachi over there in a minute and just ask these questions to those guys just so they can answer it, and they'll record.
Can you guys say anything? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, just talk. We need about an hour of just some conversation. We'll edit it.
We'll figure it out. Yeah. But so Eric Christensen, he was like one of my improv teachers, and he was like, I thought he just wanted to come see a show. He's like, can I get some tickets for me and another guy? And so I got him tickets to see an open mic. And after the show, he was like, hey, we have this thing. And he kind of explained it to me. It was like a late night talk and sketch show.
Yeah.
And he goes, we basically have all the sketch writers, but we want to do a monologue. He's like, we would like you to be like the head monologue writer. So if you want to come in and meet with us. So that was all I was supposed to do. I was just supposed to come in, be a monologue writer. He let me pick my own team of like comics to help me write. That's all I was supposed to do. But I don't ever if I can get more and like try something more, I will. So I started pitching sketch ideas. So now I'm the head monologue writer. I write sketches. I help with like like video, I write videos and stuff like that, and yeah, and then I perform on the show. So I'm, I love it.
You're like jack of all trades as a comedian. I mean, that's because
there's a lot
of comedians when I listen to, you know, like I listen to Nerdist podcasts and stuff. But a lot of the comedians that they talk to are writers on different shows,
yeah.
And that's how I mean, it's not necessarily all going out and just doing stand up. You know, it's
and there's some people who can't do that great. Some people are like, I'm just a stand up. And stand up is, if I had to drop all the other things, stand up would be the main one.
Yeah.
But even when I was like in high school, like I loved playing football. But I was like, I'm gonna be in student council, and I was in a play where I wore a dress. And I was like, I did like even in high school, I was like, I tried to be like, I guess a jack of all trades. I was like, I like having my hands kind of in a lot of things. Kind of,
yeah.
Like just sitting and not.
Reminds me of the classic Mitch Hedberg bit when he's like, okay, you're a comedian, can you act?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, he's like, what do you say? You're a cook. Can you farm too?
Yeah.
I just listened to that. Yeah, that was on the album we were talking about earlier where he just plays the bass.
Yeah,
that guy playing the bass. I would love to see just that guy. And he's like, one time I just played a couple notes for an hour. And they're like, that's nuts to me.
Did you record the album? Oh, yeah. Do you go and do you listen to your, like, do you ever record your stuff and listen to it? Or
I would say 90%, I guess around 90% of my material is on a recording somewhere.
Yeah.
The amount I listen to it or is not a lot. Like, when I first started, I would watch it, and now I don't. I hate my own voice. This will never be heard by me, probably. Yeah. Okay.
Nobody else.
Everyone else like agrees. You just got a lot of likes. Yeah. They're like, also think he sucks on talking.
He shouldn't say anything. Maybe he should be a mime.
Yeah, maybe just. Yeah. I'll bring mimes back.
That
be great.
Day.
Yeah. Bobby so no, I don't. Yeah. Whenever I do listen to it, I actually get a lot from it.
Yeah.
But it's hard for me to, like, sit down and be like, all right, let's listen to myself. I don't know. Like, it's so weird. I don't know. It's really weird to me. Like, I used to never understand, like, Johnny Depp, I heard, like, a long time ago, like, oh, he doesn't watch his movies.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, I get that.
I mean, it's because I guess there's a sense that you can go back and kind of improve on yourself. But at the same time, like, if you're listening to something that you're not totally a fan of, you can't go back and change it. So it's like, why even? I mean, unless you go through and adjust yourself.
I mean, it will make you better next time. But a lot of times I kind of remember what I did. And I'm like, I'll do it differently. But there are some times when I'll say a line that I didn't plan. And then I will be like, oh, I got to really put that into my set. This lady, I don't know if you guys can tell, but there's a lady who's, I guess, at another podcast. And she's trying to ruin it by moving all the chairs. She even stole a uniform from the mall. So she looks like she works here, but she doesn't.
Sorry.
Oh, there she goes again.
These are all just the sound effects we make Jurassic Park 5 or 4 for the T-Rex.
He got fat. They're just fat dinosaurs.
He doesn't chase anybody. He just sits around groaning, hoping sheep just... goats.
2015, that's the new Jurassic Park. I'm so excited. I'm excited that they got rid of the idea of... they were going to have the Velociraptors have guns. So I'm glad they, like, learned how to use machine guns. And I'm like, no, wasn't the third one bad enough?
There's
they started communicating. They can talk or whatever it is that they're chirping.
Yeah.
Do you remember that The Loser show a while back when they played that Tim Allen Home Improvement game?
Yes.
And there was, like, he's, like, fighting off Velociraptors with a staple gun.
Yes.
Yeah, that was one of the
How did that game get picked? Like, okay, you guys know the show Home Improvement. They're like, yes. They go, what if we put that on the cover and the game's about none of it?
Yeah, right.
And they're like, sounds great. Put it on a disc or whatever, to box with a line in it, whatever that game's on.
Sell it. We'll make millions. Yeah. And then E.T.'s like, no, don't do it. We tried to do this before.
When they made it, they're like, you know what? It won't be cool now, but in 20 years, it'll be the coolest.
When Tim Allen dies, this is going to be a gold mine. No, I don't think so.
That's amazing.
But, that's okay. Maybe it will come back. We'll be like, retro gaming, remember that fucking Home Improvement? No, we don't.
Nope.
Just get out of here.
No, we don't remember that.
It's all right.
We have Call of Duty... Ghosts
3 Super Duper Warfare of Guns.
Yeah. Which is so hard. That game sucks so bad to me because it's like, if you're not good at Mario, you can become good at Mario by the end of the night. If you're not good at Call of Duty, you have to, like, get an account, play for hours. Like, you can't even, like, just get online because you're just dead. You're like, how do I get better?
Yeah.
I remember, like, I wasn't a Call of Duty guy, but I was like, I got into Halo for a while. And I would play with my buddies, and then I was like, I'm just gonna go online by myself. And then I got offline really fast. I was like, because people were just killing me. And then there's a kid who's like 12, he's like, faggot. And I'm like,
did you just call me? You don't even know me, and you killed me. I'm an adult.
Leave me alone.
Yeah, I was like, these kids are ruthless. I'm like, go to bed, dude.
I don't even, if I ever play like Call of Duty or anything online against people, I always join my own party and say, just so I can't hear people talk, because they're so mean.
And some of the people who shit talk are impressive.
I know.
I was like, I talk on stage. I could do this. And I tried. I'm like, you just turned off. I'm like, yeah. I can't.
I don't
be a part
you
of
guys
this.
Are being mean to me, and I don't like it at all.
I love listening to other guys do it, though. It's really impressive when you're good at shit talking.
My old roommate Brandon, my computer office would share a wall there, and I'd sit there and listen to him all night, and he would just be screaming at these guys, and it was just funny because he would tend to repeat a lot of the same stuff, but it would make me laugh so hard when he was like, I shot the fucker right in the face, man. And like all this stuff, he's like, how does he not die? And like, it just like all this stuff, and I'm just be sitting there giggling and I don't
masturbating.
Know. Masturbating.
I giggle when I masturbate.
Right,
too.
Sure.
Sure.
They get that downloadable content out, and it's like a whole new experience, like a different person. I can masturbate it all over again.
Masturbate all over again. I usually masturbate all over again once a day. Like it never happened.
That's the album title.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just erased your mind and you just yes. Fresh.
Oh, this is fun again.
This is new.
This is never not fun.
Didn't even know. Why don't they teach about this in school?
Yeah.
This
I got bored of Subway. I have not gotten bored of that. So that's fun.
Oh.
Is this for children? Is this a podcast for children?
Yeah, this is going to go.
Some kid's going to be like, I love rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, right.
And I love podcasts. Let's see if one exists.
Mom.
Perfect. I found one. They're probably going to talk about tactics on how to play. I'm probably going to learn how to beat my friend. And then this kid just like, what is masturbating?
Can we listen to Frozen again?
Let it go. What? Jerk right off. Your mom won't even know.
There's so many. That song. That was the, what's her name? That Idina Menzel was on the All-Star game last night.
Is that the girl from that was the Frozen girl?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
She's like, oh, so that's Elsa, right?
Did you? Yeah. Did you see how far her tongue went out when she hit like that one note? I didn't understand why she couldn't just not do that.
Because I don't remember what song she was covering, but I had all these teachers out there. I was like, I don't care about this.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch it.
It's a baseball game. Let's bring out teachers.
Yeah.
Well, the ones baseball players were like, I don't have to care about you because I'm awesome at sports.
Right, like, they don't have to look at us right now for the next 3 minutes.
Why don't they bring coaches out?
Yeah, that's all good. So
I got off the rails.
No, it's all right because we're going to have to fight. Before we brought you on, we kind of had a little talk about Story of the Year. Now, anybody who doesn't know Story of the Year is a St. Louis band, but they're kind of one of the bigger St. Louis bands. Come out, got big, whatever. So I think I'm probably the biggest fan, but now you're claiming that you also are a... okay fan. I mean, you had to wear your shirt.
I guarantee. Yeah, I was getting dressed and I was like, I had a completely different shirt on. And I was like, why am I not going to wear one of my, how many Story of the Year t-shirts do you have? I guarantee I'm a bigger fan. How many t-shirts do you have?
Well, I don't think it should be based off t-shirts. I think I have one.
I have two.
And I cut the sleeves off. I had the, in the
Oh, you cut the sleeve? You cut the sleeves
See,
off?
Okay, here's the thing.
That's the
When
that's
I went
the
to
tournament.
College, hold on, when I went to college, I was, that's when I got really big Story of the Year. So I put a stripe in my hair like Phil.
Yeah.
Probably wasn't as cool as him. Started spinning my guitar.
Oh, you can do that?
Yeah. The first time I tried in the yard, I hit myself in the head there.
Yeah, I won't try it because it scares me. I only have one guitar and it's expensive.
Yeah.
For me.
This is like a cheap one and I was like, yeah, I'll try it. I don't know. I was majorly influenced. And now when I look at him now, like, I love the band, but I'm like, I was probably pretty retarded. Like, all the stuff I would do. But, I don't know how to classify as being the biggest fan, but I think I...
Well, I'll tell my origin story and then where I became, like... Because, basically... Hold on. Let the T-Rexes come through. Hold on. Hey, T-Rex. They're actually shooting Jurassic Park here. Which is going to be weird when you see it. When you see the show and there's three guys around a laptop with a microphone, that's Jurassic Park 4.
The CGI is not going to look as good. It's going to look like a chair.
Yeah.
But they just had to use that as a dummy.
I like how they're like, I get that they have to clean up. Like, the chairs were already pretty straight. I like the idea of someone coming to eat here and they're like, well, I'm not going to eat in the only place that the food court allows me because the chairs are kind of crooked.
That chair's not pushed at all.
I've never sat, went to a table and been like, well, this isn't square. This is stupid.
By far, this will be the best sounding podcast we have.
Okay, and also behind Chris, we have the thuggiest 11-year-olds I've ever seen. Just looking at us like, they don't know what we're doing. But they're interested.
The lesson learned is that you don't shoot a podcast in the mall, let alone a food court in the mall. But with that said, I think the background
it's interesting.
Going to bring it to it.
I think it's, yeah, these two little white thug kids behind him are just like, they're just super not around their moms right now. And their moms are somewhere, they're probably at Rue or whatever. But you can just tell that they pretend like they came here by themselves. Yeah, they're acting like, people don't think we came here with our moms.
Well, they hit Slackers, Hot Topic, and Beanstalk, so I think they're pretty much set.
Yeah, the one looks like Rob Dyrdek, and the other one also looks like Rob Dyrdek, if you're wondering what these kids look like.
We bought some big dog turds over there at Spencer's, man.
We can talk shit, because if something goes down, Shane's going to be handling it.
Yeah, Shane's, yeah.
Was a word. Yeah.
They probably have a stepdad who looks a lot like tough, like you, like, God damn it, kids.
Fucking Vader's going to come out of nowhere. Like, oh my God, this got horrible really quick. So, back to story of the year, because was something you mentioned. You know, Dan, my brother knows Dan too, so I had to take credibility away from you.
No, go. No, it's fine. I don't.
But I'm not friends with Dan, so then I had to say, well, shit, you can't talk shit when you're not friends too.
No,
so
I get it.
I mean, I don't know how to base it off of, but ultimately we're both great.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, but. I had dated a girl. She was like the girl I lost my virginity to was also the girl who like introduced me to story of the year. Because up until that point, like I had known like. Most of, like, some of the more of the popular songs of Page Avenue, you know what I mean? Like, it's all the songs that you know.
Album,
yeah, it's a really great album. I just got the acoustic version.
Did you get the acoustic version?
Yeah. I bought it. It's great.
I listened to it on Spotify.
Oh, you're such a cheater, dude. Fucking cheater. But anyways, I saw, like, and she introduced me to him, and she said her brother went to high school with him, was actually really good friends with him, and there's a video of, like, when they were called Big Blue Monkey.
Yeah.
That's what they were originally called, Chris.
Right, I'm well aware of that, yeah.
And,
yeah.
There's a video of them, and at the end they throw a firework into this shower, and then her brother gets out basically naked.
Part of their ape shit promo.
Yeah. Oh, I see. I don't know that one. I didn't know what
that was.
I won't lie to you at any point and be like,
I
know what that is.
There's gonna be fists. I mean,
yeah. So I remember, like, yeah, I watched like that YouTube video, and then I just became really. I would watch them on Fuse. I started buying, like, getting as much of their like CDs and like listening to them, and then I kind of like I always listened to them. And then more recently, I got into him again because I saw him, like, live for the first time probably, like, I guess, like, three or four years ago. And I was, like, it blew my mind.
Yeah.
And then I was I went to see my buddy's band at, we were at Cicero's. We're going to Cicero's, and there's my buddy's band's playing, and there's another, the band called The Wedding. And The Wedding was actually, had Dan was going to sing with them.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw, like, a post about it, but I was like, there's no way Dan Marsal is going to show up. And Dan Marsal walks in, and I get the excitement that a girl gets when she, like, sees, like, One Direction. Like, there's excitement of, like, he wants me to just go hug him. Like, I was like, you know what I mean? It's like this guy, my idol, who, like, I bought black shorts and, like, black t-shirts because I was like, if I look like Dan, I'll be cool.
So with Story of the Year, like, I guess when we're nerds, we have our own member that we're favorite. So yours is Dan.
It still is Dan, but also when I met Ryan, Ryan was in, like, super cool. I haven't met everyone else, but I feel like they're all going to be the coolest.
See, I think
to me.
Phil was my One Direction guy.
Oh, really? Phil was your?
Yeah, Phil. I was into Phil. But I remember seeing Dan and Adam at the pageant, I think, because me and my girlfriend before, now my wife, went and saw, I think it was like Boys Like Girls. And
oh my God, that was a while ago.
Yeah. And they're with Cobra Starship.
Holy crap. That's cool. Cobra Starship. Now, right now is the climactic scene in Jurassic Park where they actually got into the car again, and it's actually the exact same movie. I don't even know why they're making it. They're just doing it 3D.
It's just a remake. Yeah.
3D. Yeah. It's Detroit, and they're.
Somebody's
how far away is the table that chair needs to get to? I don't understand why she has to. Why can't it just go to the closer table?
The problem is I don't see anything moving. I don't see anything.
Yeah, when
moving.
We turn around, nothing's moving. Someone's like, I don't get it.
Shane's lost it.
Shane's like dying because we're just laughing because of chairs. That's like, this is such a first world thing. Like that we're laughing at chairs moving.
People are gonna be listening to this podcast and their ears are gonna be bleeding. Like I have headphones in right now and it's just. Just horrible noises all over the place. That's all right. We don't care. We shoot anywhere, and that's how mobile.
If it's more fun for you to think about it, it's actually the all the members of Story of the Year are sliding chairs around us. Yeah. We're having a great time.
They're cameo appearances.
Yeah. But what were you saying before? Oh my God! It's so stupid. I don't. This is cleaning hour. We picked the worst time.
We had a horrible decision here. So I went there, and we were sitting up top because it was too crazy, and sitting like. a section over is Dan and Adam, and my girlfriend's like, "Hey, Eric," I'm like, "That's the guy from Story of the Year." And she's like, "You should go say hi." I'm like, "I can't do it. No, I don't want to go say." And then she's like, "I'll go do it." And she's like, "Dan, can we get a picture with you?" And then I think Adam was like, "Oh yeah, Dan, can we get a picture with you too?" And I got a picture with him, but I was like, I felt like a little girl exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, and see now, like now I'm older, I don't like worship as much as I like. I love their music, but like when I was in college, man.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was a huge like. People are probably like, we don't care. Okay, yeah. You like the band.
When you get into them, you get it. Like, I got super, I think you kind of did the same thing. Because it's like, they're, I don't know, they're like that band where, like, if you love them, you're like super into it. Like, some people are like, I like a couple songs. It's like, I just kind of went ape shit. What's your favorite album?
I like In the Wake.
In the Wake's good.
But, see, here's the thing. Page Avenue is great. I can listen to that all the way through. In the Wake's good, but, like, I kind of stopped listening to so much heavy stuff. But at the same time, like Black Swan, I liked all the political side of it.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Probably their most recent album before the like acoustic one was probably like my least favorite.
The Constant?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I like that one. I think I would say Wake and Determination is my favorite. Yeah, because it's like, I would say almost the same as you in Wake and then in Page, because like in Wake is like, they got heavier for that. You know, that's probably their heaviest album.
Yeah.
And they've never played it live. And if I ever... Because actually, the Fuck Off and Dies, which is Dan's side band, it hasn't been 100% said, but Dan and the band said they'd be okay with playing on STL Uplate. So I'm
awesome.
Like, I want to become friends with him and then say, hey, I'm going to be at your show. Please, please play We Don't Care Anymore. Because I've never seen that live.
Oh.
I got to see the Razor Blades when they played it the only time they played it live, except for like when they first wrote the song.
Right.
And
we were trying to get, I think we reached out to Dan and Phil. Phil said, you know, because they're busy, it was right when they were about to go, I think, to Tokyo or whatever. Recently here. But we're trying to get one of them, those guys on just to come hang out.
I feel like Dan would, I mean, I don't know if he would do this, but I know he, like, does local stuff. Like, because I saw him, he was DJing at Dan, or not Dan, it was like another punk bar. I can't think of what it's called right now.
Yeah.
But anyways, we do open mics there. I can't think of what it's called right now. Drawing all of the blanks.
If we get him on, we'll invite you to come hang out. And
then I'll be here.
We'll just sit there and just like, so tell us what else you guys did.
Dan, you're funny. And they're like, Dan, wow, you're looking like an idiot right now.
Yeah. Why are you touching my leg?
No, whenever I did meet him the first time, I met him twice, and the first time I kept buying them shots. Like, I was like, my buddy, I told him, like, you're going to be driving later, so you know. I kept buying them shots, and like, Dan was kind of like, at first he was cool, and then he's like, because I was like, dude, can I buy you a beer? And he's like, I won't say no to alcohol. Buy him a beer, buy him shots, and it was him and Ryan. I'm talking to him back and forth, and then I like whisper to Ryan, like, while bands are playing, I'm like, dude, I know that I'm nerding out right now, but I'm like, I grew up with you guys. Like, I know all your songs. I know you get that all the time. And he was like, dude, thanks, man. He goes, are you coming out to whatever show where, like, Greek Fire was going to be playing too?
Yeah.
And I thought I was. I couldn't go because I had to work, but I was like, yes, I'm going. And he's like, you come, I'll buy you a shot. And I was like, oh, my God. He's probably saying that to be nice, but he wouldn't have remembered me. But, so I did shots with him that time, and then I had a girlfriend I took, and we went to a bar, and we saw Dan. And I was like, do shots with him. They're taking pictures. I'm like, oh, she's probably going to fall in love with him, and this will be... I'll be, like, mad, but then I'll be like, I understand.
I'm okay with this. Well, what's funny, like, and this is almost... Maybe this is kind of, like, a bummer to me, but, like, I don't drink or anything, and so, like, that was a big appeal. It's like, because Phil used to not drink, Dan used to, and now they're all, like, you know, they all drink. I'm just like, but, guys, what about me? I don't drink, and I don't want to drink.
Let's be straight edge.
On, guys, but, like...
You ever seen Live at the Bassassins?
I have,
because that's, like, how I love, like, that's how I make my videos. I do, like, a Christmas video with my family, with my friends, and that's one of, like, the, I've watched that, I can't even tell you how many times. If I ever have, like, a house where I can just have, like, a video playing on a big screen, that'll be the video that's playing.
That's, like, any humor that me and my best friend Tippin do is probably based off of that DVD.
Yes, me and my buddy say, for no reason, we'll be like, we built a studio for our band.
Dude, that's so weird.
It's so weird. Here's the thing is, like, there's a small percentage of anyone who has seen even that or quotes that, and now the two of us are here.
Did we just become best friends?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, so, and what's funny is, like, when my buddy Tiffin, who was my neighbor in college, never met him before, the first, like, day went over, and he had a Story of the Year poster on this thing.
Yeah.
And that's, like, he's gonna laugh, because, like, his big inside joke is that I thought he was gay when I first met him, and I was like, this dude's hitting on me, whatever. Now he's, like, my best friend, and, you know, we're gay together.
So we kiss each other on the mouth.
Like,
like, what were we thinking?
Yeah, geez, we should probably try
that again. That's another, since we're talking about Story of the Year, another funny thing that it's only on the YouTube video where when they were, like, still kind of Big Blue Monkey.
Yeah.
Because this is before, people who don't like Story of the Year are like, this is
like, we don't care. Can we just skip?
But I want to say this last thing, no matter, regardless. The Transhorse just died. hopefully he doesn't come back to life.
They're setting up for Transformers 5.
But there's a YouTube video of them, and the one is Dan's laying in bed, and he goes, one thing we really don't like in this band is like homosexuals and gay people. And then like Adam rolls over and hugs him. He's like, yeah, dude, I just can't stand him. Because that was before, yeah, that was before like Phil was in the band. It was a guy named Greg.
Yeah.
Who right now has to be looking at that going, that was probably a dumb decision.
I made a mistake.
Yeah.
That's funny because like that's when you like nerd out with something and you're like, oh my god, and you find somebody else who knows all this like backside stuff, you're like, okay, I'm not the only one. That's good to know. But it's that's good stuff. And now we're getting calls.
How you two? Oh, she wasn't pointed at us.
Oh, that's awkward. Okay. Not even get a real high. Jeez. So let's talk about the back away from Story of the Year. We'll just call this the Story of the Year podcast.
Dan Marsal just turned this off. He's like, well, I'm done.
No, I don't care about hearing about me, so you guys can just eat a dick.
You ever go down to Hard Rock?
No, I
haven't. Union Station?
Nope, never been there. But don't they have the Story of the Year stuff up
there? Yeah, they got a bunch of, like, even, like, the black shirt, black shorts that Dan wore and stuff like that.
Serious?
Like, yeah, it's all, like, encased and
really?
Stuff.
Like, he's dead? Like, he like, have it out there, like, he's, like, he died? That's so great.
It's, and they got, like, guitars and stuff. It's just, especially being super fans, being the memorabilia and stuff and, like, to see these things. And
I would love to see that.
Yeah. It's neat.
You nailed it. Is that the kids you're talking about?
Yeah.
Their mom just showed up.
Oh,
I actually think her mom was around.
No, I'm really good at judging characters, and those kids suck. They suck a lot. They're the kids who, they look like the kids who went to the skate park, don't skate, but just like break other kids' boards.
They
like
go into the snack place here and just terrorize a poor guy.
Yeah, like, stop.
Get off of my
Why do you assume that he's Indian? I love that you assume that he's Indian.
I've seen him do that to somebody before. That's the only reason. He may not be Indian. Maybe Pakistani.
Oh my god.
I make funny jokes.
That is, I like it.
Alright, so let's talk about the Valley Park showcase.
Yeah.
Correct. Let's get back a little more into you. Okay. Enough about me and
Dan Marsala mostly.
Dan, yeah. Let's just stop talking about that shitty band that we are madly
that we are
years.
That we love more than people should.
Yeah, that's alright. As long as I'm not alone, I feel a little better about it.
Oh, right now what you guys can't see is Shane is showing me a picture.
Oh.
Of him hugging the fuck. Actually, no. It's actually the other way around. Phil is hugging the fuck out of Shane.
And the wild card, Shane, comes in.
Shane has his picture taken with... you've had your picture taken with probably like every cool person in St. Louis, I would say. Shane's like... this is, I guess... It's still on track of what I feel. Shane is like... I don't remember how we met, but Shane encompasses like what I complain about is that there's not enough people like Shane who come to comedy shows, rock shows, and experience things that aren't the Cardinals and country music. And I like the Cardinals, but it's just if everyone stopped going to country music, the world would be a better place.
Some fighting words.
Yeah.
I don't like country music really, but there's some people, I'm sure, a lot of
If you're, I do have a whole joke about it. Yeah, if you're a country fan, you like country more than you like your kids, probably. Like, people love country, and they love the Cardinals, and that's like the two things, it's either that or go to. Now it's like everyone wants to go to Ballpark Village, which is cool, but it's like they're just making all the money. All bars around there had to close because Ballpark Village opened up, which is not a bad thing, but it's like go to that, but then also go to their. What do you get out of going to the same place every time? You know what I mean? We talked about that the other night.
Sure, yeah, man. I'm all about supporting local and like doing other stuff besides all these, like corporate bars and a Ballpark Village or anything. I mean, yeah, it's fun every now and then, but there's other stuff. The city's got so much to offer.
Oh my god, yeah.
Get out and see it.
We went to I can't remember what it's called and I feel bad now, but there was one night because all the bars are so busy, we went into this blues bar. And I don't particularly like love blues, like I won't listen to myself, but it's played live, it's amazing. You're watching guys like do things on drums you would never imagine.
Yeah.
A guy could do, and we're sitting in this bar, and I got hot wings that were amazing. It's like I had this whole experience that I wouldn't have had because I went into a place. I was like, this looks different, and I saw a guy who had art on the wall, Craig Downs, I think that's how you say his name, and I saw he had art, and I was like, I know who that artist is. And I was like, that's what you need. Is kind of get. It's like fun to have culture and not just be like, if people should walk by you, and it doesn't have to be Lil Wayne for you to be like that guy's important or like doing something that's like different from everyone else.
Well, that's what was so cool about talking to Steve Ewing with Steve's Hot Dogs. Like, it just, when we went down there, I'd never been down there before, and it was like the culture and like the almost like unity and family of like those stores was just really neat to kind of see. Yeah. And I'm like, you don't see that with the McDonald's and a Taco Bell and down the street.
No.
I don't know. It was just really neat. But yeah, I agree that this dude goes. I don't know, because I don't do anything. I just sit at home in Wentzville and hang out. You know, watch Story of the Year videos.
Yes.
He goes and does everything, and it just blows my mind every day. He's out doing something.
That's amazing. And I remember I asked you because I thought you're the only person who's doing kind of what you're doing and didn't become a comedian or like go into a band. I was like, dude, so you like want to do stand up? And you're like, no. You're like, I just love watching it. That's so great.
I literally like probably twice this week already. I've been asked people think I'm a comedian. I'm like I actually ran into Christians. Like, yeah, I've never seen one of your sets. And I'm like, I don't do comedy. And I'm like, I'm just around all the time, which I make sense because everybody always says like if you want to be in, you got to be around.
That was about last night. Yeah,
and I'm like, well, I'm always around, but I don't have any desire to be on stage and do it, you know. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just a big fan. I like supporting you guys. That's why we're doing this, so I can help you guys spread the word.
Yeah, you guys' first episode. It's like so I listened to it and I was like, this is great. You guys are both talking about like what you guys want out of it, and I hope that's what people do. Is people, you don't always, if you want to eat an Applebee's sometimes, you know, it's fine. It's like, but it's, I guarantee, you know what's going to happen there. But if you go to a different place, you might not have the best meal you've ever had, but then you at least know, you're like, I won't go to that one again. But it's, or you get to try something different, or you find something else you love.
For me, all this stuff started in high school. Anybody that went to Wentzville, we had Scott Swafford was our football coach for years, and then he retired from coaching, and he was our health teacher at the time whenever I was with him my sophomore year. Mm-hmm. And he used to tell us, and his wife, Runa, still says it all the time, they live this five like your last five. They always say 5 and 5. And I don't know, that always like stuck with me, especially it drove the point home because he ended up passing away over the week. He told us like on a Friday night like to... you know, hey, if you guys ever get invited like the ball game or something, like take the opportunity, enjoy it, and like, you know, if you forget your homework or whatever, or something like that, like you can turn it in later, make it up, and you know, I'm not gonna, you know, just take advantage of the moment and live it, and you know, worry about the other stuff later. And then he told us that like on a Friday night, and ended up like passing away on Saturday or Sunday. We come back Monday and find him, you know, get the news, and you know, and it was devastating. But that, so obviously that 5 and 5 sticks with me, and that's what I do, why I do what I do, getting out, because I'm like, you know, nothing's guaranteed, nothing's promised, so I'll get out and enjoy every night, like, and you know, and the stuff I do is like, you know, $5 a show or whatever, and I don't drink, so it's like, I'm not spending $20 on beer every night or whatever it is, and so.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. I think that's incredible, and I think if more people live their lives like that, it would be like a more people would be fun to be around.
Yeah.
And nothing that I hate more than is having the same conversation with a new person that I've met than I've had with someone else before. Yeah. And I don't know if that makes sense, but like when you meet a guy who like, if he has to go to the bathroom, he's like, gotta go drain the main vein. You're like, are you saying are you saying a sentence like you?
Oh, like, I'm glad I didn't say that.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, no, it's like, it's, if you say that, it's like, I don't know, but it's like you create a sentence that is brand new, that it's like an actual idea. Don't just talk like how you, I don't know if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like you talk to someone, it's like...
You meet characters that are like cliches, that are walking, talking cliches and stuff. And
I find it so much more interesting talking to someone who, like... I guess that's why I'm very attracted to, like, talking to comedians and improvisers, because they're, like... They're people who... They'll tell me about something and, like, that they're... I'm like, I've never even heard of that. And they're like, oh, it's great. And it's a new thing to, like, learn. Instead of just being like, well, I'll go see the blockbuster movie that America told me to watch because it'll make me happy. And it's like, it's, there's so many better things that'll make you, like... I don't know, but I'm sad a lot, too, so maybe I'm the idiot.
Well, it's... We've talked about it before. Is like, people have such just, like, tunnel vision on what they like, and they don't really want to get out of that comfort zone because they're like, well, I don't know what it is or whatever. And, like, that's the biggest... thing I wish I could tell people is like, there's no such thing as cool or lame or anything. It's, if you enjoy it, go enjoy it. Who cares if somebody says it's stupid? Just enjoy it, man. Because there's a billion other people out there that probably do. And, you know, it's just like, that always drives me nuts when people judge other people for liking this or that. Yeah. It's just like, dude, who cares?
Yeah. Oh,
you
exactly.
Enjoy it, you know?
Yeah, it's I think, shame. Yeah, people, one of the things I think music, even if we went back to music, metal is like a genre of music that people are. You're either into it or you're like afraid of it. Because like,
if I'm ever talking to like a new girl or something like that, will be, you know, the question will come up like, what kind of music do you like? I say, I'm like, I like rock and metal. And they're like, oh, like the stuff that screams at you. And I'm like, that's so funny you say that, because no, it's not all like that. And some of it is, yeah. But I honestly, and for me, like one of my favorite bands like right now is Protest the Hero. Mm-hmm. They're like a progressive metal band. They're so good. And you listen to bands who are playing music who it is, who like some of the whoever the biggest music person is couldn't even come close to doing. They're like so advanced. If I was ever like a millionaire, I would make on like Channel 5, like a popular channel, the Metal Awards. And so people would have to like be like, oh, I didn't know that was what metal was like. Right. Or like there's so many different, just like country, there's so many different versions or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same in metal, there's like pop, punk metal, it's like that. Yeah. It's like there's heavier stuff, and then there's like the death metal. It's like, and it's all, I promise you, as much, any person who loves country, they could find a metal song that they're like, I kind of, because I used to hate it.
Yeah.
And my buddy gave me a CD, and I was like, this sucks, and it became like my favorite band for like 3 years.
Right, yeah. Anytime, when I was growing up, my sister used to listen to, not metal, I don't think, but like heavier stuff. I was like, how can you even listen to this crap? And then that's what I would listen to. Like, yep. I found it. And then I remember I was little and we always rode in the car listening to Bloodhound Gang. And if I would have known what they were saying during that time, I was like, oh my God.
They
like,
make it sound so bubblegum. Right, and you're like, it's definitely not bubblegum.
I was like, this is horrible. Awesome.
Yes.
I mean, I loved it. But when I was growing up, I didn't know what they were talking about. And then I was like, oh, yeah. All right. Very good. Very good. Oh, man. Well, so let's kind of talk about some stuff you got coming up here. Run out of time, and I think the listeners are probably going to get so much Jurassic Park.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I'm in the upcoming Jurassic Park 4 movie. You can see me, Chris, and Shane. We are all... but the thing is, I can't believe they haven't cut, because we've been laughing hysterically.
I know.
At these dumb chairs.
Well, Spielberg is very natural when he shoots, and so he wants to get that take, you know? You can't just fake this, you know?
Yeah.
So you got to get it to understand. So what kind of gigs you got coming up? We very briefly mentioned that Valley Park showcase. What's that going to be? Is that just a bunch of different comedians coming out, or what's that?
The Funny Bone approached me and asked if I, because I had run showcases in St. Louis before, and they're like, I kind of have free reign to pick the guys who I think are good, and some of them, like one of the managers of Westport is going to be down there watching, and I think it gives it a chance to give people longer sets.
Yeah.
And then a bigger chance to kind of get seen. It's like, you know, it's because there's always, you know, you're either on the Funny Bone, you're either a headliner coming in or like a local headline you're already set, yeah. Or your guy trying to host or your guy trying to feature. And this show is going to kind of be that for guys who are right at that tipping point of being with either a feature or a host and getting seen. And people coming to the show and be like, oh, that guy's really good. We want to see him more.
Right.
So that one, I would say that show is something that I'm really gonna pour my heart and soul into, that and then like an STL play. And there's actually a new show that me and my friend Steve Rains pitched to the Improv Shop, and they're picking up. And
oh, wow.
The idea of that show is it's, he started off doing improv, I started off doing stand-up. We both love both sides of it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of improvisers who don't like, or like, oh, I want to do stand-up and don't do it. And there's a lot of like stand-ups who are like, improv's stupid. And this show, we're hoping to, because it's going to go like comic improv.
Yeah.
Our goal is to combine those worlds and people to see it and be like, oh, there's no different. It's just, you know what I mean? It's like,
making people laugh.
Yeah, it's just, there's different kinds of movies. There's different kinds of comedy. And that's something I'm really excited about coming up. That'll be the first show's the September 10th.
Oh, awesome.
So that's gonna be something really cool.
Well, that's pretty exciting.
Come check out.
No, don't tell me what to do, man. God,
I was talking to this microphone.
Oh,
I was talking to the Funny Bone microphone.
Well, you know,
there's just no guy in front of it.
We should just put a dick. Just say, talking to the dick, sir.
This isn't a dick?
No. Not here, because there's families around.
This looks
like a
dick.
You can go to jail. Yeah, we just say it's a microphone.
You have the words, this is a dick, written on it.
Here's the thing. I actually have the real microphone in the laptop. That's what's recording this. This is just sitting here so you feel comfortable with a penis being in your face.
That's cool.
Because eventually we're going to put a penis in your face, and we just don't want you
that's
to freak
gonna
out.
That's going to be great.
That's exciting.
I am excited.
all right. And you're on Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff?
Yep. Facebook. Everything is just my name with no space, because I'm not that creative, and it's easier to find me.
That's how I do with mine. I would just like have my real name.
Yeah.
Then people don't have to worry about it. They just have to find out how to spell it.
Yeah. If you know how to spell my name, you can follow me. Oh, there goes Rob Deer Duck again.
He's going to go record some ridiculousness.
So we got Valley Park Funny Bone, August 6th. with what do you got? Max Fitzgerald.
Max Fitzgerald, Ben Johnson, Andrew Frank, Keith Sissel, myself. Some of my favorite guys. That's
a great lineup.
Yeah, I won't put people on the show that I don't believe in and that I don't think are great. That's how I always ran my showcase. If you're great, you know, you deserve a shot.
I quote Max and Andrew quite a bit. With Andrew, I always do the that's just too much damage for Bacon.
Dude, he's a dynamite.
I love that guy, man. Yeah, and then Max, Stacy's one of our favorite jokes he does is the onion booty.
Oh yeah,
like it just
guess it makes so good it make you want to cry. Yeah.
not to ruin all their good jokes, you know, right now.
No, yeah. Oh, that's we're telling them the better way.
Yeah.
In a loud room.
Yeah, yeah right.
With sound.
That's a killer lineup, man. It's gonna be a good one.
I'm glad you guys. Hope you guys come out to that.
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Comedy's stupid. I hate laughing. I hate having fun and laughing at things.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I love podcasts that are very popular, but I did this one, didn't I?
Well played. Oh, there's a lot of hate going on here.
I don't know if you guys, we're in like a Mexican standoff. We all have guns pointed at each other's heads, except for they don't. There, it's just them pointing it at me.
I guess we're
gonna
have
to
get another guest for episode 8 now, Shane. Yeah. Geez, thanks a lot. No, man, it was awesome talking to you.
Yeah, I had a great time.
I appreciate you bringing back being able to nerd out with story of the year. Talk.
Yeah, it'll continue as we walk away.
Right. Yeah. There'll be some.
I tried to hold it back in case Dan does listen to it. He's like, I'm not gonna do that show.
He's like, those guys are fucking weird. I don't want to be anything. I like my butthole, and I don't want to get raped by those guys. Because that's what I would do. I mean,
that's what I was gonna say when you're trying to feed him all those drinks, man. Like,
are you trying to fuck Marsala? If someone's like, if you can fuck a guy, I was like, damn Marsala. Like, who's that? I'm like, you shut your mouth.
You shut your mouth. That's my man crush.
Shut your mouth, man.
Kids walk by. All right. Well, it's good having you on, man. And maybe we'll get you on another episode because it was just fun to talk.
Yeah, and maybe next time we'll go into a quiet room.
Yeah. This is our thing.
Next time our show will be in a construction site.
Right. Yeah.
We're gonna record it in the McDonald's playpen.
Yeah.
In the ball pit.
In the ball pit. Just kids just pissing and throwing balls.
With some needles, obviously, I guess is what to do, right? Sweet. All right, well, yeah, follow Bobby J. Cox, all one word, on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Same thing on Facebook.
Yep.
Go check him out, The Funny Bone. He's not funny, but he's got a bone, so we'll watch him. good all-around guy, and he's a firefighter.
Yes,
and I don't know if I mentioned that, but he's fucking doing good work as well, so appreciate that. So, anything else you want to add?
Keep it crispy. Is it that podcast? Is that the wrong one?
We could.
Oh, that's you made it weird. I didn't know what podcast I was doing. that's all the things I wanted to say.
We could steal that, I'm sure. Maybe.
Can you say, like, keep it fried? We'll do that one.
Yeah, Pete knows this.
Keep the scissors podcasting paper. Pod.
Yeah. I had a lot of fun. You guys look great. Well,
sweet. All right, episode 8. That's a wrap. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, all the good stuff. Thanks you for if your ears are bleeding from the sound. So long.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock,